good spell. With John and Mary on a good spell. They're top and on and it's everything you wanted to know. Tune into the DS106 radio show. Intellectual conversation, the leaders of the game. They are bright, they are sweet, so go and give them a tweet. The DS106 Good Spell Show.
Good evening, welcome to the DS106 Good Spell. Mantras and Koans that delve into the open online course, Digital Storytelling 106. My name is John Johnson, and I'm in a Skype call with Mariana Finnis. Good evening, Mariana.
Hi, good evening, John. We're on, we're live, for life.
Oh, good grief. We have been, or I have been clicking random buttons for the last 4 minutes. I seem to have just completely lost any focus with Nicecast in the last couple of shows.
Apparently Rochelle, thank you Rochelle, she's listening and she says she can hear something, and then she said hear for a minute and then it's cut out again.
Oh, that's weird. That is really weird. Because I can see it going out, you know, with my voice. I'm going to have a wee listen on the other end.
Let's have a listen. I shall entertain our listeners just in case for us to have a listen.
It's fine, yeah. I can hear it playing through, so I'm guessing it is.
Yay! Yay! It's playing! Rochelle says, yay!
Yay. I'm going to have to get better at this. This is really terrible. So, we're looking at... this is the sixth show we've done this autumn, or fall, as people like to say in the States. And the bullet for today is... Yes, I like to be liked and my stuff to be noticed. Yeah, I think most people put stuff online like that. But you go on to sort of have a couple of sub bullets, Mariana, about you refuse to keep retweeting your own stuff in the hope somebody might see it. A push strategy online annoys me. A pull means good stuff goes unnoticed.
The reason I put them, I'm just distracted a little because I think Rochelle is now saying it's gone again. Let me just check. Shall I just do, I'll just do a okay question mark on Twitter, if I may, just to be sure that they can hear us. The reason I put those three together, they were actually three of the bullets that I wrote at the end of the headless, and they were kind of together, and I guess that was me really reflecting on the kind of impact of, you know, what works, what doesn't, how do we, you know, what are our kind of expectations really when we put stuff out there. And I think the yes, I like to be liked and for my stuff to be noticed, that is really me coming to terms with the fact that, you know, it wasn't really true that I'm just publishing it for myself. That's a big lie that I tell myself to make myself feel better.
Yeah.
That really, I quite like for other people to notice and to say they like it.
Yeah.
Yes, she says, Rochelle says she can hear us.
Yeah. As far as I know, just for Rochelle's benefit and anybody else that happens to be listening, we are, and since I fixed that, I think we have been putting the sound out. I can see the levels bouncing up and down and things going to on the out bit, but I'm not 100% sure what's happening on the other end. I think we'll just keep going and hope it sort of settles down a wee bit and beds in. So I guess, Mariana, that everybody's got this tension between publishing, and this is very much to do not just with taking part in online courses, for instance, it's just in publishing online and being part of one or more than one overlapping online community. I might be on Twitter and I might have a blog, and I might post out on Twitter when I post my blog. I might have an automatic tool that does that, and then I might do it again a few times too, and that's the point where it begins to get a bit annoying for some people.
Well, I had some, it wasn't related to this, but I was having a conversation with one of our, with Stephanie, who is, she's the S106 open participant from Germany. And I've got to know her a little bit over the last while. And we were talking about commenting on Flickr and on other places when you post your stuff. And she had some really interesting comments around all of this, because she was, you know, saying, well, you know, I've noticed, for example, that if I comment on somebody else's stuff, then they are likely to reciprocate, and they're likely to come and look at my stuff and comment on my stuff. And then she also said, also, you know, I also like to look at people's favorites on Flickr, people's photos and so on, because she says that way she gets to know people, because she thinks there is a consistency in terms of style, in terms of, you know, what we like, not just with what we make, you know, our own art, but also when we pick and choose art from other people. And so that way she, it helps her think about what kind of comments she might make and so on. And I thought actually that was interesting from the point of view of strategies that we use in order to get our stuff to be noticed.
Yeah, I certainly noticed myself doing that sort of thing. If somebody on Flickr adds a comment to a picture I put up, then I will generally click through and look at their stuff. I guess that this, by publishing your favourites or your bookmarks or whatever online, you are sort of giving away a bit of yourself or revealing things, maybe. It may be interesting, you know, to look at people by their sort of hidden footprints, say their likes and their favourites and their things like that, as well as what they're straightforwardly saying. Do you think that will give away any hidden secrets, Marianne?
Well, I think this is what Stephanie was saying, and part of why I was interested in it was because I knew we were talking about this week, and it really is about what is the kind of strategy that we use, what fits with our values, our beliefs, but then also the sort of flip side of it, that sometimes we would like to do things in order to get, you know, let other people know what it is that we've done. And sometimes it is our own limitations, our own limiting beliefs that stop us from doing that, because we don't want to show off, because we don't want to, you know, all of that. And so it is that, as you said, you know, it's that kind of tension that says, right, you know, how much do I push my stuff? How much, you know, do I just allow people to find it, which is my idea of the sort of pull strategy, which says I put it out there, I let people know that it's there, and then, you know, whoever comes, versus the alternative that you were saying there, where, you know, should we have, you know, use to do it, you know, periodically and put things out to different places and so on. And I don't know, I think in the old days, and possibly when I wrote this, you know, I did have a sort of very definite view that one was better than the other. Now I think more that as we get more comfortable putting our stuff out online and so on, that actually, you know, a lot of what we put out there and how we put it out there says a huge amount about who we are. You know, so I was really fascinated by, you know, how Stephanie kind of gets to learn more about people, and that was her point precisely, that, you know, actually, you know, it may not be my art, but if I click on something because I like it and I want to get back to it, it says something about my taste, it says something about my aesthetics, as it were. And and I think, yes, you know, I think there is, and people do think that through, don't they? They kind of, when they have the public lists and all that kind of thing. So yes, I mean, I think it does say quite a lot about, you know, who we are. I mean, I think another element of this particular topic is really the whole thing that says, you know, linking, I think, in some way to what we were talking about last week, which is, you know, the sort of how we manage and how we cope with the vulnerability really of it all, whether it is because, you know, 10,000 people notice it and, oh my God, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Or whether it is because nobody notices it. You know, but there are issues, depending on your personality, there are issues with both of those.
Yeah. I mean, I think my own, I think I'd feel, I mean, at the moment, I think I usually tweet something once. I might pop it into Google Plus, and I've started automating both of those things now, from WordPress. So I think actually one blog I've got, like my more educational blog, I've still got an old one, so I actually send out two tweets at almost the same time about it, and I always feel kind of slightly embarrassed, but I'm not actually sure if I can remember the URL that's doing one of the automatic things, whether I can find it to turn it off or not, you know.
Do you think of your work differently, whether it is DS106 stuff or other stuff, i.e. stuff that you would consider your art or your digital stories? Do you think about that differently than when it is maybe your educational blog and maybe, you know, a text and more the kind of professional side of things?
I think I've got a different audience. I mean, that's why I hived off. When I started DS106, I started putting it all on the one space. And then I thought, you know, there's going to be people who might, at least four, I think, who might be interested in what I'm talking about education. But I'm a primary school teacher, so they might get a bit annoyed with animated GIFs and strange YouTube videos and you know, weird conversations that they may not understand with dolls. sorry, with people that look quite like a doll. I'm just going to switch over to Twitter at the moment because I see Rochelle's saying that she's having some sort of troubles, I think.
So she can't hear us still.
Yeah. But I can. I've got my phone in my other ear.
Well, I can hear because I can hear. I thought I can hear very slightly the background of your phone. So.
Yeah. So... I can hear. I can hear myself from a minute or so ago, as well as.
Oh, that's going to be really awkward and horrible.
Yeah. Well, I get used to hearing myself after a while, Marianna. I'm not that bad.
Hearing myself.
Yeah.
This is where I confess. This is where I confess to our million listeners that I have never heard any of the episodes.
Yeah.
Because I'm embarrassed and shy.
Yeah. So that's maybe interesting if we look at it from the idea of promoting things and putting things out, and if you're actually doing something and you think, oh, it's an interesting, it maybe is why I hide the DS106 stuff from my other audience, if I've got an audience in two places, because it might affect the way people look at me. I mean, I think quite a lot of people know that the two things are going on because of following me on Twitter, but I'm guessing quite a lot of them just don't click on any links that I've got #DS106 after, because they realise that it's not what they're interested in, if they're interested in, you know.
I asked the question because, you know, I am starting to see now, because I've got all sorts of experiments going on in different different blogs and various things, and I'm starting to see that the space that you create makes a big difference as to how you perceive your writing and what it is that you can do, what it is that you can say. And I was just curious about this distinction between the kind of DS106, which you might put under the heading of your art, and, you know, the other stuff, which might be put under the heading of the kind of, you know, professional or more kind of, you know, worky stuff. Mm. I was thinking that, Ryan Cestlo, who does the S1, they are doing the S106 at the moment in York, York College, and he would call himself an artist. And he writes really beautifully, I think, and I've been reading some of his essays, he calls them. And there's one that where he addresses this question, do you really, really want to be a famous artist? And I kind of, you know, pick that up to talk about today, because I thought it is this thing about, you know, actually what is our motivation joining the S106, being an open participant and making stuff. You know, the conversation we've had before about how I for a long time I would just call them my artifacts that I made, you know, there weren't even stories, let alone anything else. And so I think it is that the interesting thing about publishing on the web that is that, you know, it's not that you're setting up an exhibition and nobody comes in a physical space. It's you choose to put it out there and the potential is right there for lots and lots of people to see it. And so is your motivation that you want to be a famous, you know, famous artist and that you want the world to pick up your art and somehow? And what Ryan talks about, actually, which I think is really beautiful, is the idea that it is about the emotional state that his art creates for him, and that for a long, long time, as he was growing up as an artist, for a long, long time, he thought he wanted to be a famous artist, and he never really questioned that. And a lot of stuff that didn't make him happy came out of that. And it wasn't until he connected with the love that he has for his art inherently, whether or not somebody else sees it, likes it, and so on, that he was able to kind of move on as an artist, because he unpacked and understood his motivations for it, I guess. And the thing that I thought was really beautiful in that essay was that he talks about what drives him is that the drive to express himself in more ways than he can count. And I think it's a beautiful thing of, you know, when you talk about what is it that motivates you to be an artist, you know, it is partly about expression. But what I like about the way he puts it is he's saying, actually, you know, what a gift to be given the possibility to find more and more and more and different ways to constantly express yourself. And is that part of our motivation? Given that when we, a lot of us doing the S106, we wouldn't say that, you know, we have a day job, as it were, as well as doing this, then I wonder whether it is that. It's that kind of, you know, inherent thing that human beings have about, you know, finding ways to express ourselves. There's something, I think, very beautiful about that. I recommend that you read the essay. It's long, but I think it's lovely.
I just saw the link just before we came on, so I've had a skim, but it's one I'll bookmark and go back to. I wonder as well how that affects when students who are taking the S106 at university, it's part of their course. You know, and obviously some of them will continue and other ones will drop off after the course, so that's quite different. And I think it's probably different from, you know, other people's points of view. Say I would definitely not regard what I'm doing as art. I think it's fun and it's interesting and it's stuff I want to have a conversation about. And that's why I want to have somebody to talk excitedly about, you know, doing things rather than anything else. And yeah, I want people to pay attention because I want somebody to come back and say something, and so I can then say some more in, you know, an overexcited way, but that'll maybe lead to something else. And as you said right at the start, everybody likes attention. You know, you like people saying, "Oh, that's nice, that's interesting." But
the interesting thing, isn't it? It's it's what kind of attention and towards, you know, towards what? Because, you know, it's that thing of, you know, sometimes you spend zero time making something and a whole lot of people love it.
Yeah.
other times you spend a lifetime doing, you know, doing something and everybody goes, meh, you know. So there is that element, which is where, for me, then the having that internal drive and being clear about the internal motivation for you to do it, no matter what happens once you put it out there, you know, the sort of thing that I was saying about, you know, Ryan, talking about the expectations, and that actually if the motivation becomes, actually, I just want to express myself, and isn't it lovely, in his case, because he's a full-time artist, so in his case, you know, his day job is expressing himself, and what he's saying is, how lucky am I? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the case. And maybe seeking fame and fortune in terms of the sort of external markers of that actually have made me not see that I'm already wealthy in terms of having this kind of freedom, which I think it's a lovely, you know, it's a lovely way to look at it. I have an intention of learning to call myself an artist before I finish this, because I am kind of involved in doing this, the S106 at York College, and I've set as my goal that I want to be able to call myself an artist and not laugh after I finish the sentence.
Yeah, that's lovely. I know exactly. Yeah, what you mean is quite often when you're doing things. Let's just say things like this, like we're talking about, that you can feel slightly fraudulent, especially when, you know, there's other people who are doing things and taking them immensely seriously, and they are part of their life, and sometimes you do something and it's just, you know, it's just a bit of fun, and you might be learning, and as I say, I think I hope to learn something, but it's not always art I'm aiming at. It's maybe just learning another wee bit of Photoshop, or of, you know, how the internet works, or, you know, just how online courses work, which is one of the things I'm really interested in.
It is interesting, isn't it? I mean, you make me think, because I would agree with you, and I would say often, you know, I would go off and I do something because I go, I need to learn more about this, or somebody tells me about a particular tool I don't know about, so I'm going to learn more. I would say that, but there is, you know, and ever since I've started to read, you know, the all this stuff about art and what makes, you know, what makes an art critique and what makes an artist and all this sort of things, because I've been curious about it for a while. Ever since I've started to think about it more at the forefront of my mind, I am wondering, is there a kind of like Ira Glass talks about, that, you know, you practice for years and years and you're really crap at it and you keep practicing, but something keeps you practicing. You don't know what it is, but you keep practicing and you go, well, that sucked, I'm going to not do that again, and, you know, and that was not that great, but I'll go, but you keep going. And until you get good at the thing, and I just wonder whether, you know, in the way that you and I tackle it, whether it's a kind of a safety mechanism, a defense mechanism to kind of make us keep trying, so it's okay because it's not really art, but whether the longer term thing would be that you want to find a way to express yourself that is your own. I certainly would say that that's true for me now at this point. I would love to be able to find, you know, what I see. I see that people who call themselves artists, they have a language. And in one way, you could say that if everything they do is the same, except it isn't, it's variations on a theme, because they found their voice, they found their way to express. You know, if you think about, you know, take Ryan as an example, and you look at his art, there is a kind of signature to it. You would recognize it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's the sort of thing that Stephanie says about, you know, recognizing people's art and the other thing she said was, she knows the kind of comment, when she makes something, she knows who will comment and the kind of comments she will get and who will going to like it and who might not. Which is interesting, because again, she would call herself an artist, and so for her there is a kind of signature thing that she does, and there is an awareness, a mindfulness that says, "And not everybody's going to like this. Some might, and some might not." And I would love to have that. I would love to find that somehow. It's like finding a language, I suppose. I see.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that you need. The other thing is to become like that. You probably need to specialise to a degree. You know, to concentrate on the one thing, and I certainly like to dabble with lots of different things, and maybe not concentrate, and maybe that's a defence mechanism that I'm never going to get that good at any one thing because I, you know, play an awful lot with lots of different things. But again, I don't know if what I'm interested in really is art, but more just how the sort of technology works, just how to do things and how they seem, you know, things that seem magical before you know how they work. I quite like to know the tricks, as long as it's not like really hard, but you know, nice wee simple tricks, like, you know, doing an odd wee layer to make a GIF or something like that's interesting, or how you do transitions in a movie or something like that seems interesting.
No, I don't believe you for a minute. I think you love your animated GIFs, and I think that that's your art, and the beautiful things that you make and how you take time, and you make time to do them even when you're really busy. I think that's what it is.
I think if you would be able to see a pattern through them.
Oh, you want me to find one? I bet you I could find one.
This is veering, well, we're running slightly over time, but this is veering very, very far off. But what one of the pages I really like in Tumblr is the archive page. You know, if you go to somebody's Tumblr and then you just put /archive at the end of it, it shows you thumbnails of all the posts they've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really nice view. And if I look at my sort of GIF Tumblr like that, you know, I can see I go through wee phases of interest and this, that, or the next thing, but they don't last very long, and they flip to something else, and they move on. And it's ideas that catch, you know, my attention. Like I don't know, just flitting from one to the other. And I think you'd be hard pushed. Maybe you could tell me next week if there's a pattern in there, Mariana.
I am planning, it's part of my intention with the doing the art critique, is to try and learn a bit more about that, about how is it that, you know, that you find that. I suspect that, you know, from what I know from a psychological point of view, that part of it is to do with attending to where you're drawn to emotionally. You know, it's like never in my life I would have thought that, you know, making animated GIFs would give me the pleasure it does. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit with any kind of models that I would, you know, understand as this is something that I find interesting. But once you stop fighting that sort of logical, critical, etc., then you go, you know what? It gives me joy. Yeah. A great deal of joy to sit and, you know, and I sit and I struggle until I can get something to be like I imagine, and that, I think, is where the art is. It may not be shaped in anything that would be of any use to anybody at this point, but that's got to be where it is. Where it is to be found one day, hopefully in this lifetime.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get there. I don't know if we've got. We're running slightly over time there, Marianne. I don't know if we've got a conclusion to this idea of how much effort we put into publicising what you do.
I was struck. I watched the internet's own boy this weekend, and I was thinking about, you know, about that, and without going into the detail of the documentary, but one of the things that Aaron said was, you know, he was talking about what the internet had kind of meant in terms of, you know, how it was changing society, and one of the interviews, and he said, you know, that actually in the old days you used to have to fight to have the right to publish whereas, you know, now anybody can publish. That's a given. But that actually we now have to fight to be heard, not to publish. And actually that sort of made me stop and think, because I think a lot of the it's like we don't know what to do and we don't know how to do it, so we overdo one thing, we underdo something else. It's a kind of new thing now that, you know, you can just click publish no matter what. You know, it could be as horrific as I care to make it, and I can hit publish. You know, nobody's going to stop me. So then you know, it's like your attention goes elsewhere, which is actually, how do you build an audience? How, you know, the sort of fighting to be heard in amongst the abundance and the quantity of stuff that's around. And I think that's a real issue around, you know, the even if we just limit it to, you know, to our digital stories, and we limit it to what we do in the S106, even there, when you have a large group of people, the kind of how are you heard, it's often the tutors that help the participants be heard by saying, picking this up or picking that up and going, actually go and look at this because it's interesting.
So that maybe takes us back to the DS106. Is it Inspire? Is that the site? Is it DS106.us/inspire perhaps, that people can add things to that are interesting? I guess it's nice for the folk that are added. I think maybe that's the thing, though, is what you get is, I mean, obviously very few people can have the attention of the whole world. Very few people can have a lot of attention, but what we kind of built in or what has been built inside DS106 is a group of people that will pay attention to each other when they can.
Well, it's that thing, isn't it? And maybe this is a good place to kind of, you know, start to end, which is the, you know, it's that thing of you're not building an audience, you're not kind of, you know, creating resources that then you want to disseminate, you know, in that kind of disembodied sort of way, which, you know, is the way that often people approach social media, certainly. But actually what we have is we are using, which I've been reading about this today, maybe for another time, but, you know, that actually what we're doing is using the technology in order to build relationship, and relationship ain't a resource in the kind of way that, you know, that we think of resources. And in that sense, it doesn't matter whether it's art, it doesn't really matter what it is, because what matters is that actually over a period of time, we are using the technology to build relationship with each other. So we help each other, whatever it is that we fancy making.
I think that's it. And it's like almost the thing you're interested in, there might not be somebody in the same block as you live that's interested in that. There might not even be somebody in the same town, but it's the idea that you can find a community on the internet that is really nice. You can find some people interested in the same thing. And I know certainly when I started being interested in educational technology in schools, there wasn't many people locally interested in the same sorts of things as I was interested in, but I could go out and find people through blogging or whatever that were interested in the same thing, and that was my audience. It might not have been very big, but it was, you know, you find your group, and maybe that's the nice thing. We can build communities of across the world.
Human beings, I guess, that's the thing, isn't it? You get to know, and I think this is something that is, it can be a wonderful, you know, it's a wonderful experience, even if you just think about, you know, the DS106 community. You know, we have people all over the world, and that is, you know, and it is the human beings, and you know of the people, and I think that's the thing that that makes the difference. And where I would say that, you know, we succeed in the S106, where maybe others struggle a bit more.
So that's probably a good place to stop. And we will try. I'm interested. I'm going to have a wee chat to Rochelle if I can, an email or something, and try and figure out what's going on, because I'm just going to play a wee bumper and we'll be out in about 30 seconds.
for life.
Always.
Good spell. We're John and Mary on a good spell. It's off and on and it's everything you wanted to know. Tune into the DS106 radio show. Intellectual conversation, the leaders of the game. They are bright, they are sweet, so go on, give them a tweet. The DS106 Good Spell Show.